There are four sitting governors currently running for president: Chris Christie of New Jersey, Scott Walker of Wisconsin, John Kasich of Ohio, and Bobby Jindal of Louisiana. Now, as we know, running for president is a full-time job. So how do these guys govern their states? Our next guest has some experience with that. Douglas Wilder sought the Democratic presidential nomination back in 1991 when he was governor of Virginia. Another sitting governor, Bill Clinton, went on to win the Democratic nomination and the general election in 92. Governor Wilder, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. Glad to be with you, Jeremy.
Well, how much does running for president distract a governor from the job that they have, which is to run their state?
Totally, and so much so that I announced that I was running in September and announced that I was withdrawing in December.
Because you had to run Virginia.
Virginia is a one-term governorship, one term of 4 years. You have nothing else. And consequently, even those people who supported me strongly for governor thought that it would not be good for me to divert my attention to give any thing other than fullest attention to the affairs of the Commonwealth of Virginia, and I had to. I inherited a $2.2 billion shortfall. You can imagine what that would be like today. I needed to make certain that we could weather that storm. As a Democrat, it was expected that I would be raising taxes and that I was liberal and that, consequently, that would be the way out. We balanced the budget. We didn't raise taxes a dime. I established a rainy day fund, put it in the state constitution. Every governor since that time has had to rely upon it and has done so.
But we have had a lot of governors in the history of this country who have run for president successfully and won. Do you think it's a mistake for a governor to run for president?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, I thought that a governor would win in 1992, and as a matter of fact, it did.
Right, Bill Clinton.
He did. Bill Clinton did, and he and I discussed that several times during the course of that event. You've got to think, look at it this way. People coming from the Congress and coming from the Senate haven't been as successful.
What about President Obama?
Very, very fortunate. That's my point. And to the extent that he inherited a situation that was absolutely great for him because he was running against the Iraq War. He was running against the stagnation of the economy. And those two things, particularly when you consider that Hillary had not positioned herself sufficiently from the Iraq War, and she paid a price for that. So, and then I was one of the earlier supporters of Barack Obama because I thought he had all of the materials, the ingredients, the smarts, and he had served long enough in the legislatures of the Senate in Illinois as well as in the Senate to not be jaded by the spirit of Washington. Consequently, I think he is a remarkable exception.
So as you look at the people who are running now for 2016 who want to be the next president, and we have Governor Christie in New Jersey, we have Governor Jindal in Louisiana, we have Governor Walker in Wisconsin, and we have Governor Kasich in Ohio. Will those states suffer because the governors are running for president?
They don't have to. In my case, it would have, because I thought, quite frankly and honestly, that I could have run on a part-time basis. I don't see how you can do it part-time. You've got to be out there pretty much full-time. But you left out a name, and that is a former governor, Jeb Bush.
Right.
And consequently, he is going to be most formidable. Donald Trump is not going to go anywhere away. He's going to be a item to deal with.
You think for the long haul?
For the long haul. And I think the people who are giving the sound bites about, we want to make America great again, we want to get our country back, those sloganeerings are not going to make it. Let me tell you what's going to be one of the things that's going to be on the agenda, and this is why governors, in my judgment, and people who have had some say in what's going on are going to have more to say about it. The issue of race is going to be the 800-pound gorilla in the room, even though it might not be spoken. And why do I say that? Because everybody's talking about the enemy that's going to be beating us. The enemy is not the enemy without our country. It's going to be the enemy within our country. It's not going to be ISIS. It's not going to be Al-Qaeda. It's not going to be the Taliban. It's going to be the people in this country coming to have to believe that we are one nation, indivisible. We are not a police state that treats certain people as second-class citizens. Governors have something to say about that. They can direct what takes place. I intend to hold a seminar in my school at Virginia Commonwealth University this fall on the issue of race in the American society.
You think that's going to be the top issue in this election?
I don't know what's going to be the top issue, but it's going to be the issue relative to what we need to do to make our country strong. Yes, it is a stronger issue than Al-Qaeda, ISIS, ISIL, Taliban, and all of them together, because if we are not strong within, we can't fight that which attacks us from outside.
Well, and are you hearing from the candidates, even on the Democratic side, are you hearing from the candidates what you want to hear as, frankly, the first elected African-American governor in this country? Are Hillary Clinton and others saying what you want them to say?
No, they are not. They are now beginning. Well, first of all, the African-American vote is taken for granted by both sides. One side, well, we're not going to get them. The other side, well, we don't have to worry about them. So let's concentrate on the Hispanic vote. That's a big mistake. Take nobody for granted and be certain to understand that you can't have people shot and killed because they don't have a license plate on the front of their car or because they are arrested, locked up, and treated like criminals because of a changeling. And I'm not defending or offending. I'm saying that these things that keep cropping up night after night, day after day, are not going to disappear. And I got something from a guy the other day. He was talking about, I didn't know about the syphilis experiment that took place in this country from 1940s. It's hard to imagine that in America this could happen. I said, you've lived here over 75 years. Hmm. Why don't you know more about what does not take place in America? And so, yes, I do think that it's most important for the candidates to speak to how they regard race in America, how they see what's taking place, and what they would do to offset some of the things that are taking place. This vigilante mindset and this second-class citizenship for some just by virtue of the color of their skin, they are not stopping white people like that. Nowhere.
And you think that Democrats right now are taking for granted the African-American vote?
No, I don't think they're taken for granted right now. I think it's been taken for granted for a long time. And I say that unabashedly, unashamedly, and I will defend what I say to whoever wants to speak. Have you heard anybody speaking about the need to go out and get that vote?
You don't sound like somebody who's ready to vote for Hillary Clinton.
I don't sound like anyone who's ready to vote for anybody.
Hmm.
Well, I have a reputation that no one takes my vote for granted. And I think that's the way it should be. And I'm not suggesting that Hillary and I and her husband and I, we have great relationships. But we are not talking about personalities. We are talking about the nation, the country, the people. Where are we? People are saying, this exceptional nation. Who built the nation? What made the nation great? Who were the people that were enslaved and made others rich and then left to paddle their own canoes and pull themselves up by their own bootstraps and then being criticized for every little thing that goes askew?
That's Douglas Wilder, the former governor of Virginia, who briefly sought the Democratic nomination for president in 1992. As we just heard there, he decided he had to get back to the business of his state and couldn't run any further. But Governor Wilder, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Jeremy. Take care.